So today, I'm trying something a little different. Normally when I film things, when I was filming the Monday show or anything really, I drink a big cup of coffee beforehand.
Yeah.
So these first two podcasts that we've done, I haven't done that. And so I've been a little subdued. This time, big coffee. Just finished it. Tasted great. But also, I got back on my workout horse.
Awesome.
So I'm feeling good. My energy levels are high. Just met up with the Honest Trailers dudes. Screen Junkies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We did a little rap song for them.
Excellent.
So with all that good news, let's start the show.
Ba-da-da-ba-ba, it's intro music for the Nice Peter podcast.
Nice Peter podcast. Welcome to the Nice Peter podcast. So glad you're here with me. As always, is Dante, your co-host.
Hello, hello.
We experimented with having a guest last week. We don't have a guest. I said week, as if this is weekly. We don't know.
We don't know, but last week, but the truth.
It was last week.
Yeah.
We started out by having a guest, and it went great. Uh-huh. And this week, we do not have a guest, so we're going to make you the guest. I just sent out a tweet to ask if anybody had any Twitter questions, and let's answer some questions from you.
Twitter question time!
What do you got, Dante?
At Sass Master Emma asks, how are your kittens with two little kitten emoticons?
Oh, that's beautiful. The kittens are great. I got two cats. My dog Charlie passed away this past August, and that was very sad. And the house was very quiet. I heard like ghost pitter patters.
Oh.
Yeah, it was devastating. And it was really, really tough. So I decided to go to the kitten adoption place near my house just to look. Just to be around small animals. And I told my brother, I have a brother, and he has two cats, two male cats, who are brothers. And he said, get two male cats that are brothers. It's awesome. They fight. And it's great. And so I go to the kitten adoption place, and sure enough, there's these two cats. There was actually three of them in the little cage. And the woman there was like, oh, these two I don't want to separate. They're brothers. They've bonded. I was like, oh. And I picked one up, and it put its little paw in my face. And that was it. Started purring. That was it. So.
They're upsettingly adorable.
Yeah, they're really cute cats.
It's like, I don't like cats. I'm allergic to them. Mostly, I don't like them because I'm allergic to them.
Sure.
And I'll rub my face all over your cats.
So soft.
Because they bring me in like a tractor beam of love.
Wait till, I don't know if this is going to sound creepy to anybody, but if you can get the gray cat. By the way, their names, I experimented with a lot of different names. We finally settled on gray cat and orange cat. That has stuck as their official name. So gray dude, gray guy, orange guy, you know, anything like that. Sometimes I'll call them like snoodles or boodles.
I think that's brilliant.
Or noodles. And so gray cat, he'll crawl under the covers and just lay next to your bare skin with his warmth, fuzziness. I was kind of stroking myself inappropriately there. And it's just the soft, and he starts purring, and it's just the softest, warmest, cuddliest, just, it's divine.
Yeah, it sounds really nice.
And when they're not fighting, they often spoon each other. I got them a little cat tower, a little furniture, and they just sit there and spoon. It's amazing. They're very sweet. So to answer your question, they're doing great. Real beacons of happiness in my life.
Yeah. They're making the world better.
Any other questions popping out of you?
Yeah. How did you get to write for the SpongeBob movie? And that's asked by @ShaneWalker227.
Sure. So going a little deeper into that, this weekend was crazy, man. Saturday morning, Lloyd and I went to the premiere of SpongeBob SquarePants, the movie, here in Los Angeles. And we got invited to that because we're in the movie for about half a second. And we were both like clean shaven and pale, and we were supposedly playing surfers, and I have a line. I actually have a line in the movie. I say, what did you put in these things or something? I don't know, referring to the Krabby Patty. And we look like just eggs. We look like egg people. We're so pale and bald. But the way that came to be – oh, and then at the end of the movie, you'll see there's a rap battle, and that we wrote that and performed in it. And the way that came to be is the director of the movie, I guess, is a fan of the rap battles. And so he reached out to Lloyd, just got an email one day. It was like, hey, man, SpongeBob SquarePants wants to know if we can write a rap battle between a time-traveling dolphin and some seagulls. And, you know, I think we're the guys.
Yeah. No, you guys are the guys.
In this modern entertainment industry, if you need a rap battle between two quasi-unrelated characters, I'd like to think that we're good for the job. So we took the gig, and that was about a year ago. We started working with them, and we got to go onto the set, and Antonio Banderas was there.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He's much shorter than I expected.
He seems like such a gigantic
man. Seems like
a
giant
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. I didn't talk to him or anything. But
what was his hair like?
He had a big wig and big beard. So he plays Burger Beard in the movie. And we got to see what was pretty interesting. We got to see the movie as it was progressing. So we got to see like the sketch drawing version. And that's all we had to write the song from. And then we just got to see the finished thing in 3D. It was awesome. I got to see my 3D pale face up on the big screen and then hear our song. Very exciting. That's how we spent the morning. And then in the afternoon, I went to this two-year-old's birthday party and played guitar for two-year-olds, which just took me back. My job used to be a magician for little kids' birthday parties. So I got to travel back in time and play songs. We played Old MacDonald. You know, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and that was great. Just little kids appreciate music like no one else can. They just start wobbling in time, and that was great. And we played If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands. That was great.
That's a classic.
Oh, it's a great tune. So then, after that, in the evening, we got nominated for a Producers Guild Award.
What?
Yeah. So that is, here in the Los Angeles film industry, that is where, like, the big guns go party. So I'm sitting at this table, and we are the lowest people on the totem pole here at this event. But we were nominated for producers of a digital series, and we didn't win, but it was a great honor to be there. And I'm sitting there, and Jennifer Lawrence just walks behind me, and then Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad just walks by me, and I'm looking down at what I'm wearing. I'm like, am I dressed appropriately? And I look up, and Edward Norton is standing next to me at the bar. And he's wearing like a really nice tuxedo, and I was wearing kind of a weird cowboy shirt with a suit coat. And then I looked over to my left, and Merle from The Walking Dead was there in a very funky outfit. So I was like, all right, those are my people. I'm not an Edward Norton type, you know?
Yeah.
I'm more the Merle from Walking Dead. So we didn't really get – it's not the kind of place where you like meet people or take pictures or anything, but it was amazing. Brad Pitt was there, and he – I tell you, you can tell how attractive he is from – all the way across a giant room.
He's striking.
He's striking
out.
In the dark, in a big room from far away. You're like, my, that man is handsome.
Gosh.
Electricity flying through the room. It was awesome. A lot of really famous producers. This one woman who produces The Walking Dead, Terminator, The Abyss, Aliens.
Jeez.
Yeah. What a...
That's a resume.
It's a giant resume. So... very exciting night. We didn't win, like I said, but it was cool to be there.
That sounds incredible.
What's the next question? This is fun.
So, at iRavel asks, what's the one character you haven't done yet that you wish you could would in the future?
Oh, gosh. I don't think we've had that problem. It was always Freddie Mercury, and then we did Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. And then Rick Grimes from Walking Dead was one that I always wanted to do, and then we did that. So we try not to, if we have that feeling of we really want to do this, we try to make it come true. So try not to live with that feeling for long.
At Dutchies Iwa asks, favorite word?
Poop.
At Keith Swanger wants to know, what has been the most memorable of fun experience you've had with another YouTuber?
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't answer that completely. I got to meet the bad lip reading guy who remains a secret. I won't out who he is or anything about him because I think he keeps himself relatively anonymous, but a very smart young man.
Little anonymous genius.
Yeah. Very, very smart dude. That was exciting because I enjoy his videos. I don't know. Today, all the YouTuber experiences I was pretty starstruck by Hannah and Grace. They're so fabulous. But today was cool. We got to work with the Screen Junkies guys, the Honest Trailers. They're funny, man.
Yeah.
Man, they make funny videos.
As you keep on going out there, you realize the vast swath of talent.
It's great stuff being made.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Okay. At AC Robertson 24 asks, will you ever be doing another round of Smash Brothers for Wii U?
Oh, gosh. we've been pretty, you know, when we do take time off, which is, you know, every hour, we take a few minutes to recuperate. We've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Zombies. Right now, we're on the expansion level. We can't seem to beat it. Smash Brothers, to me, was too frenetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't keep up.
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
My eyes don't know where to look. I always lose my character every single time.
I long for the days of the Nintendo 64 Smash Brothers. I thought that was a perfect video game.
Did it not zoom out as much?
It just wasn't as much going on.
Huh.
And I found the timing of the controls to be, I don't know, easier, more understandable. But people seem to love Smash Brothers, the new one.
Yeah.
I don't. And when I went online to play, I just got obliterated. Just torn to pieces. That's never good.
Yeah. I think, didn't we try to once go and play Halo, I believe?
Sure, at some point? We tried to play Halo online. And
just got destroyed immediately.
There's some things that we're good at here, and there's some things that we're just not. And video games, we're always struggling to keep up. Let's take one last question.
Oof.
Or two, you know, whatever.
Okay.
It's really good. This podcast has been exciting because I miss the Monday show, and I miss making things that open up this communication. It's really exciting to be making the rap battles and making these big videos, but it also keeps us, you out there and us here a little separate from each other, and this is exciting to get close.
All right, so I think Relevant, and a great username, at Beast Mode Always, asks, when will you start doing the rap battles again? I got some good ones, dude.
Nice. So we have started. As soon as we got back from, after the holidays were over, we took like a week to just relax and turn everything off. I went down to the Caribbean, which was incredible. I think we talked about this. I conquered my snorkeling fears.
Yes.
So then we dove back into it, and the first thing was to set the schedule. So we have to figure out, all right, when are we going to film all these? When are we going to edit all these? So we're doing another block of six, so we had to set up the whole schedule. And it takes us from now, the schedule takes us from now all the way up and through into August. Mm-hmm. So we know exactly what we're going to be doing on every day from now until August, which is a weird feeling. You know, I think the thing that some people seem to forget is that it takes some time to make them.
Yeah, it certainly does.
And we were working on the director's battle all the way up until the moment it was uploaded, like literally overnight, Sunday night.
I'd say it's like kind of the first one we started writing in a sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The directors?
Yeah, having to really think about it.
Yeah.
And then was the last one to be
made. It was the last one to be made.
Yeah.
But we were working literally up until the very moment we pressed upload. We stayed overnight at the editing room, and we went out for beers afterwards at 10 in the morning, which was interesting crowd at 10 a.m. at the bar. So the process has begun. We're going to probably be choosing beats. That'll probably be the next step so we mm-hmm. can really get into the music. And now the research phase is also a big part of it. So we spend a few weeks really diving into these characters, reading books, watching movies, watching documentaries, and that's that. So, yeah, we've started. We're still open to suggestions. There's two that are a little question marky, but we've got six. We got our targets locked on six that we like, that we think we're gonna make.
Yeah.
And also, you'll hear it here first. We've started planning a world tour.
Very excited.
That features the epic rap battles of history. Last year, Dante and I went on a tour, and we used some rap battles. It looks like this year we're going to do a bigger tour, and Lloyd's going to come along with us.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some music. We're going to do some rap battles. We will still be needing people from the audience to come up on stage and rap with us. So that we're very excited. So we know what we're going to be doing from now until probably about November, mid-November. And then after that, no idea. Probably get back to it.
It's exciting.
So, one last question, or?
Yeah, I think this is very important, because he says he bet that you won't see it. At Buway B asks, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, gosh. Probably cookie dough, I think. But
yeah, man.
Yeah, it's just such a
great.
That's
so good. Yeah.
When that came out, it changed everything for me. And I think it led the revolution of ice cream being just a new decadence.
Yes.
So, yeah, cookie dough is very good. You know what my least favorite ice cream flavor is?
Rocky Road?
Green tea.
Okay.
Green tea ice cream is for... It's not for Americans, I'll tell you that. And that sounded much more xenophobic than I meant it. I just mean, how can you sleep at night?
It's unpatriotic.
If it's unpatriotic is what I meant. You can be any nationality. It's gross, no matter who you are. I don't understand how anyone tastes green tea ice cream. It's like, ooh, it's kind of bitter, not very sweet, tastes like dirt. Yum, 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 yum.
Did you happen to have that one green tea at that restaurant that was like sushi style? They served it in a sense that it was like almost served. It was like served with seaweedness in a caramel.
I didn't think it could get grosser.
It was pretty weird.
Yeah,
man.
No. Green tea ice cream is gross. It's for the birds, and birds, I don't think, would even eat it. My cat might eat it.
Appetet just wanted to say, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Yeah.
Batet, miss you.
Oh, is that Mike Batet?
Mike Batet.
Mike Batet is one of our writers and also helps us direct on the set. So he's the guy who suggested that we have a trunk shot for Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
He is the guy who also suggested we put Quentin Tarantino in a bathrobe. So that's one of the most important things about this series, and I think anything that I've personally done on YouTube is learning how to work with other people and learning how to take input and allow other people's ideas who you didn't have to help what you're trying to do grow and morph into something that you could never have done by yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's it's a really exciting part of it because everybody contributes, and then by the end you have this like multifaceted thing that appeals to different people. So God bless you, Mike Batet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Batet might be interested in this next story I'd like to talk about. So one of my first YouTube videos I ever made was a picture song called Japanese People Are Weird.
Yes.
So I got a lot of flack for that, for saying that, and it's obviously sounds slightly racist, which I don't mean it. I don't. There's no hate or anything.
But
there.
Now coupled with this green tea,
the green tea
thing.
Look, yeah. The green tea ice cream is not a racial thing. I just think it's gross. The reason I think it's un-American is because green tea ice cream hates freedom. That's all I mean there. So that was one of my first videos when I submitted to become a songwriter at the station, and that was the video that got me the job. Certainly wasn't any of the other things I wrote because they were terrible. I wrote a couple of sketches that were just horrible. But the Japanese People Are Weird picture song was kind of what got me started. So I read an article today that a 16-year-old girl in Japan murdered an old woman with an axe because she's always wanted to kill someone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could hear something stranger today.
And it was just I don't know, the article then referenced like, oh, this isn't the first time this has happened. There was another girl who like murdered a classmate with like a hammer or something and was just curious what it felt like to kill someone. And that really, really freaked me out. Not because the person happens to be in Japan, that, you know, I think people are weird all over the world, but to murder someone because you've just always wanted to.
Yeah. Can I make a sweeping generalization?
Please.
I've like learned from different Vice articles and things like that about the cuddle cafes and such, which are also popping up in America, as well as there's like seems to be a thing in Japan as well of not getting into intimate relationships with people. So there seems to be like this interesting relationship to attachment and sensation. It's like very, I'm not saying it's like not, it's not unsurprising or something like that, but it's fascinating that this also comes up in the same culture that where this new era of cuddle cafes and not boyfriends, but like paid boyfriends or
sure.
girlfriends also exists. It's just an interesting sense. It's a sensational thing. Like, I wonder what it's like to feel that, or I choose not to feel that. I'm actively not going to feel this one sensation. Or it's a complete anomaly. It has nothing to do with the Japanese people.
There's weird things.
I apologize.
No, you have nothing to apologize for. This is your opinion. This is a free space.
I'm just saying it's a question. It's not even an opinion. It is simply amusing on other things.
The question is, are you racist? And the answer to that is, you know, it's complicated. I think people all over the world are weird in their own ways.
Yes.
You know, I'm an American person, and you can't see right now, but I put my little fingers, my little quotation fingers in the air because, you know, my ancestors are from all over. But I do weird things that are distinctly American. And you go to, like, Belgium, and there's, you know, a peeing boy statue that's, like, super famous.
Yeah, which I find, I think nothing's weird about that. I think it's weirder that we, like, take away penises from statues and things
sure.
like that.
Yeah, no, that's also weird.
That's very weird.
It's all weird. Peeing yeah. boy, a little weird. Covering up the penis on a statue, very also weird. Weird. Everybody's got their own brand of weirdness. Japanese weirdness, I think, fascinates me deeply.
Yes.
Because it is, you know, Japanese culture is very different from my Rochester, New York upbringing.
Yeah.
So when things go weird over there, to me, it's like this very special kind of weird.
Poop hats.
Don't know what that means.
You ever seen the pictures of the poop? They're just...
That's my favorite word, so I'm loving this.
It's a dung hat, you know? It's a
made
hat.
Of poop?
You know, like when you go, if you were to go to a Green Bay Packers game?
Sure. There's cheese heads. Yeah.
So poop hats.
So not made of poo. It's like a styrofoam poo.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's odd. But is it weirder than the cheese?
No. It's just
it's
all
a little different.
At what part of the function of the cheese process that you want on your head?
Right. Do you want? Okay, I get what you're putting down there. So this all leads up to, I think I want to visit Japan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I wanna find out more about this culture that I find so fascinatingly weird, and see if I can understand it, and see if from the perspective of within Japan is it as weird, or you know, will I look back on my culture and be like, this is weird? I know, you know, I started visiting England about 15 years ago, and when I came back to the United States, things looked weird to me.
Absolutely.
Certain things.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more you travel the world, the more you kind of gain perspective. And I'm diagnosing my need for perspective about Japan, because right now, I think it's real weird.
Yeah, no, I think it would serve you well to check it out for yourself.
I want to bring that down. I want to bring down my judgment and bring up my
my
knowledge.
Perspective.
Yeah, I want to learn. I want to learn about Japan. I also want to visit my friend in South Korea. My friend Benjamin, who was one of my best friends in high school, he said something to me that lasted with me forever. So the first time I ever smoked marijuana mm-hmm. was with this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Kurt Loder from MTV came out of the television and was sitting right in front of me. I remember that distinctly. I remember listening to Sade and,
wow.
and really enjoying it. Like, I've never gotten so deep into Sade. And then I remember this conversation I had with Ben where he said, man, you're a funny dude. You can't ever stop. You can't ever give up. If I don't see you on TV or something, I don't know what I'll do. You can't ever give up.
That's sweet.
It was sweet. It was also a ton of pressure. and his work, I have so much respect for this man. He was such a hardworking, lovely dude. And he was adopted from South Korea, so he is ancestrally South Korean. And then he went away to South Korea to teach English, and he never left. So he's lived there ever since, right after college. But I think with him was like the first time I had a beer. It was like the first time I smoked weed, all these things.
So a very important dude.
Important dude.
Yeah.
And somebody I admired, somebody I looked up to. And he told me at a young age, I was maybe 15. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about whatever. This is a judgment-free zone. He told me I just couldn't stop or I'd let him down. And there were moments in my career where those words echoed through my head. And even though I wanted to give up, I couldn't, because then I'd be disappointing one of my childhood heroes, one of my best buds.
That's really cool.
So thank you for that incredible pressure, Ben. There were some real hard times came through it, but I never gave up. And so that's something important I think we can do for each other is tell each other we believe in each other. Because sometimes you run out of your own fuel. You run out of your own drive. And you got to count on your friends or on your parents, unless your parents are just terrible,
yeah.
which mine weren't. But, you know, there's a lot of terrible parents out there. But there's going to be somebody who believes in you. You just got to find that person and make them smack you around a little bit.
Yeah. There was an interesting part of a podcast I listened to today about internet trolls, and eventually went over into this segment. It was This American Life. It went over to this segment about this guy would create emails for himself, and he'd receive them throughout his day, and they were his anxiety, and they would tell him terrible things about himself. And just kind of jumping off of what you're saying about, you know, trying to impress someone.
This sounds awful so far, but I'm bearing with you.
So, you know, you're trying to impress someone. That's part of your motivation. Sometimes what's a counter motivation to you is perhaps a voice in your head that says to you, you're not good enough. You know, like you constantly have to fight with this person, and it's a person in your head, so to speak. So he set up an email thing that would email him to tell him, you know, your nose is really big, and like all these weird anxieties he had about himself. And,
sure.
And eventually seeing it from that perspective of it's an outside so these are the things you actually
think. He separated his mind into exactly. The hater, the inner hater.
The inner hater would actually physically email him, and then he could reply and be like, you're a dick. Like,
right.
Why would you say that?
He'd reply to himself.
Yes. And then eventually it helped him to be like, those thoughts are absurd, just as absurd as someone else emailing me and telling me your nose is too big.
Wow, that's deep.
And that, I think that's an interesting different counter motivation to wanting to impress Benjamin or your inner Benjamin.
Sure. I just didn't want to let down my inner Benjamin.
Yeah.
I think, you know, wanting to impress people is also a super powerful factor.
No.
When I started on YouTube, there were definitely some people that I had something to prove to. I was having some difficulties in my relationship with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very poor man. I was not quite homeless, you know, but uh-huh. I got close. I definitely almost lived on a couch in Long Beach.
Yep.
I was right there. I was going to valet park cars. And I really wanted to prove to my brother that I wasn't a complete failure. And that helped.
Yeah.
That definitely kept me going on some difficult days.
I admire your ability to get to the edge. You know what I mean? You really know how to find that edge, experience it, and then come back from it. A lot of people are unwilling to get to the edge. And I think getting to the edge is important.
I appreciate that. I can't surf. I can't skateboard. So I can't experience the edge that way. I'm not a physical edge kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I like... Yeah, I like pushing things.
Yeah.
It's fun to... I don't have a really inner voice of doubt.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Well, yeah, no. When it comes to doing things, I don't have an inner voice of doubt that says I'm not good enough. I can't do this. It's more... I have almost the opposite of, like, I have an inner voice telling me I'm not good enough unless I do this.
Interesting.
So I if left to my own devices, I think if I had my cats, I'd be fine.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, you can't just live in your house with your cats.
Some people have managed
it. Some people have managed it. It sounds like a happy life sometimes. But I have always had something to prove for some reason, and I'm not sure why. I think there's, I don't know, there's a couple, there's milestones that happen along your life. My relationship with my parents is interesting.
Yep.
They're good people.
Yeah.
But they definitely always wanted me to do something impressive. My mom was definitely much nicer to me when I did impressive things. Which is great. Yeah. It worked out okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Worked out okay. But I didn't get a lot of that, like, oh, you're perfect just like you are stuff.
Yeah, see, I was pretty perfect right from the get-go.
You were?
I was super perfect.
Oh, no. I was always like, yeah, good. Try. Keep trying to be better because you're almost good enough, maybe. And not, you know, I don't think my mom's going to listen to this podcast, but, hey, you know, these are the truths.
But, I mean, that's kind of important, man.
Gave me push. Gave me drive.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. I got a lot more approval and attention at home if I did something.
Yes.
And I started, you know, I tried to play the saxophone first. God bless my parents because I was a horrible saxophone player, and that is a loud instrument.
Yeah.
But if I got something, if I finally got to be able to play something, I could play it for my parents and be like, that's great. You did a good job. You know, that's how I get approval. So that worked. So I don't know what any of this means. I do want to talk about haters.
Yeah, haters, man.
They're both terrible, but then I find myself, because of the hater phenomenon, I find myself having difficulty not liking things. Because am I being a hater? I don't like Rihanna.
Okay.
I don't like her music.
Yeah.
I don't like her haircut.
That's fair, man. It's fair.
I just don't appreciate her.
Just like green tea, you're allowed not to appreciate her.
Am I being a hater?
No, but you're a hater if you tell Rihanna outwardly every day.
Right, no. I think she's doing a good job at what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I think she fakes a sexual maturity that wasn't like, I'm a rude boy, but you know, like the rude boy thing. Maybe she is that mature, I don't know. But wasn't she like 19 when she was singing about rude boys?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I don't even know what a rude boy is.
I stayed very far away from Rihanna personally because I have no connection to her.
Sure.
I don't even want to take the time to hate about her. I suppose I am a hater. I just don't think about her. I don't.
Okay.
I avoid her music. But when I see her thumbnail,
you can't avoid Rihanna. Rihanna music is forced upon you in the CVSs of the world.
See, I don't even realize it until Umbrella. Umbrella is the one that only stuck out to me.
Ella.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that song. That's a fine song.
Yeah.
It's a fine song. I don't hate you, Rihanna. If, you know, I know that you're probably listening to my podcast, so I want to make sure that we clear this up, Rihanna. I don't hate you. I don't enjoy your work. And I want to make sure that it's okay to not enjoy somebody's work without being a hater.
Absolutely.
In these hater-filled days.
Yeah.
I like it when someone doesn't like the rap battles. I love it. especially when they say, you know, these are cheesy and overacted and these songs are too short. I'm like, yeah, all right, that's fair. That's all fair. This is a very short song. We're a little cheesy and we definitely overact a bit. But that's different from the kind of hate you can get on the internet.
Which I think that's a critique.
That's a critique.
Yeah, that's okay. But there can be some real haters. I think rap battles have done a good job of avoiding real, real trolls.
Yeah.
I don't dig too deep into the comments section.
I don't know. I don't know how we have. I got a real aggressive troll early on around Hulk Hogan time.
Yeah.
That left a lot of really creepy comments on like every single one of the videos I was making that said he was going to meet me in Venice and beat my ass and like murder my dad.
Yeah.
A lot of weird my dad stuff. And God, it was hundreds of comments. It wasn't just like a few. And I finally wrote the dude. I don't remember how I was able to write him a message and said, "Hey man, you know, it seems like you got a lot of anger towards something. I don't think it's me, unless maybe it's me. You know, maybe he was one of the people we sang to in street music, and we made fun of him when he was just minding his own business, and then he saw himself in a video. I don't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I said like, if I've wronged you in some way that I don't know about, I would like to know. I would like to clear this up. I'd like to apologize." And he wrote back and said, "Nah, I've just been having a hard time. Sorry, I'll delete all my comments."
You know, and to springboard off of that, This American Life, the same podcast I was referring to with the email, the first story is a girl who gets a terrible hater, much like that one, but goes after her in awful ways. And she finally broke down and wrote an open article about the hater, being like, I can't believe why you do that. I just lost my father. He created a fake Twitter account for her dead dad, and they would tweet her as her dead dad.
That's pretty dark.
It was terrible. But
that's some Japanese level weirdness.
The title's called, "If You Don't Have Anything Nice to Say, Say It in All Caps."
Ah.
Yeah, it's a very good episode. And it's, anyways, she confronts him in this way, but not confronts, just openly says, "You got me. You hurt me. This is awful." And he takes everything down, apologizes, and then she ends up interviewing him later on, and she like changed his life by directly saying, "Hey, I'm a person and this hurt," and he just never experienced that before in his record of trolling. And truthfully, he admitted that a lot of his trolling had to come from, you know, she was a bigger girl who was a very okay with her big size and would talk about it.
Sure.
And he was a bigger gentleman, and he was almost mad at her for being okay with who she was.
Huh, wow.
Really interesting. Fascinating podcast. That can't recommend it enough.
This American Life is one of the best things in the world. That brings so many thoughts to mind. I wonder if sometimes people just need to know that they can do something, that somebody's listening to them.
Yes.
And so sometimes it helps when you yell a lot. So I had an interesting experience with a man named Bo Burnham. Mm-hmm. So I was a very frustrated comic musician, and I was stupid. This was before I ever made a YouTube video. I was frustrated and stupid about it. And I watched Bo Burnham videos, and I kind of watched his whole career take off out of nowhere. And instead of looking at his videos and be like, "Oh my God, this is smart. I should learn something from this," I would get so mad. And I was so jealous. Mm-hmm. And looking back, and I feel like such a little idiot. But at the time, I just was a little idiot. And I made this like streaming show where I sang like a whole song making fun of him. And really mean. Like saying some really mean, nasty things. And I was jealous. I don't even know. There's no other word. I was jealous. And he put a comment on it. One of the guys I was making the video with put it up on a YouTube channel, and he left a comment saying, "Yeah, I'm a total dick." And I couldn't believe it. This was Bo Burnham. He was already a relatively big deal. And he saw this video of me just pitifully making fun of him, left a comment, and it just I just realized, oh my god, what a small connected world we're in. I feel like such a dick. Mm-hmm. And it was a powerful, transformative experience to me where I realized this is a waste of energy. To look at something and get angry because you're not it is a complete waste. Why don't you look at something and learn from it?
Yeah.
And the next great admiration of a video producer that came into my life was Mystery Guitar Man. Mm-hmm. And instead of being jealous, I just learned. I looked at what he was doing. I was inspired by it. It inspired me to take new risks, try new things, work twice as hard on one video than half as hard and do something else. So that was a real – Bo Burnham changed my life by calling me out as a total little asshole.
Yeah. I think it's important to do something like that, to head it face on.
Yeah.
If you're the receiver.
Sure.
Or the doer.
I've had the opportunity to do that, and because of – it made me feel so bad that I haven't done it. So somebody will leave a comment sometime on a rap battle. I'll be like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Everything you do sucked since Chuck Norris, Abraham Lincoln. You guys suck. You're over the hill. You're just too old to be making this. And your hair is stupid. And you look like an egg in SpongeBob SquarePants. And, you know, we do see all those. You know, we get a lot of comments nowadays. Yeah. But those ones really jump out at you. Especially when they're super accurate. And, I've thought about, you know, going to these people's YouTube and just be like, hey man, I saw your comment. You're right. I'm a dick.
I'm an egg.
Yeah, I'm an egg. I'm an egg person. But I've restrained myself because although it was a powerful, transformative experience for me, I don't want to mess with some dude's head if he's not ready for it.
Yeah.
So I've restrained
from
doing
feeding.
That. And I've learned how to take it in stride, a little bit. It's still because we do. We look to the audience, and the audience on YouTube is—it's so much of a part of what we do to learn about where to go next, how to you know adapt our videos to the changing tides of YouTube while still maintaining our own creative vision. We do read a lot of comments, and I see a lot where people are like, "You'll probably never read this." I definitely read it.
Yeah,
and you just take it all in.
It seems that no matter what you do, it still affects you. Because I heard Rogan and who is it? His guest, Shane Smith of Vice News, talking about the same exact thing. These flood of, you know, praise and just general, hey, great.
Yeah.
And there's that little one thing.
Yeah.
That it always seems to stick out for anything you do online. That one comment. You, and then you think about it for longer than you have to.
Right.
Especially compared to the ratio.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's something about the way that it is in the internet. If you were performing in a room, all right, and you played a song and 70% of the people really enjoyed it, 20 people really didn't like it very much, they would just stay quiet. You know, they just wouldn't clap and cheer as loud. They wouldn't be like, that sucks, you're horrible. That wouldn't be appropriate in any other venue. But on the internet, it's totally okay to say, that sucks, you're horrible.
Yeah.
That's like a standard comment. And yeah, I, you know, my own journey with Weezer took me through some of those same emotional loops where I used to look at Weezer as mythic gods that just are so far away from my world that it, you know, there's no connection here.
Yeah.
It's like me making fun of Zeus, not
which,
which we did in a rap battle, but I mean the actual like Zeus god that it just it's trifling. And then I made a song, you know, I'm a big Weezer fan. I always have been. Always will be. I went through a phase where I had some opinions about some of the musical choices they were making, and I expressed them on stage in Long Beach at a venue, and I sang this whole song about Weezer. Very hateful. And I had it up on my MySpace page, because that's how long ago this was. And then I started working in YouTube, and Weezer did collaborations with Dave Days and Mark Douglas from Barely Political, mm-hmm. who are both my friends. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, this band of mythic god beasts was working with my personal friends. And I immediately went, like, I hadn't used my MySpace page in a while, but I looked and it was still up there and I felt like such an idiot. I was like, they might have checked me out to see if they wanted to do this project with me. I wasn't quite a big enough channel at the time. But I took it down and just realized that everybody's a person, every artist is a person, and They're going to do what they're going to do. And if you don't, if I don't like it, it's probably best if I just shut up. As long as it's not like hurting the world.
Yeah.
What business is it of mine?
And it's the one difference between a fair critique and
just being a jerk.
Yeah. Blathering of the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. But I'm really lucky to be super old because I got to have this phase of life where I was just an idiot. Just making bad choices. And I
admire your ability to take it to that edge.
Nah.
Of idiocy or whatever you want to call it, man. But, you know, some people play it a little bit too safe in this life.
And maybe.
It's a little more fun to
sure
see how dumb you can go.
I'm glad I learned how dumb I can go. And it hits. It's dumb. That is for sure. But now I realize that we're all just people. Even Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
She was near me with her beautiful, beautiful side boob.
Yeah. I can imagine. She's the kind that makes you think you can sit down and chat with her a little bit.
Sure. She has an approachability.
Yeah, totally. Did you consider approaching her?
No, gosh, no. No. Did it go through your head at all
no, for a second?
No. No. It wasn't like that.
Was there anyone there that you're like, maybe I'll talk to Edward Norton?
Nope. No.
No, like proximity?
I almost thought about going up to Merle from Walking Dead. Because he looked a little lonely.
Did you hear him talking at all?
No.
So I wonder if he always talks like that.
I don't know. I don't know much about him in real life.
Huh.
He's a great actor.
She just said hi to Merle.
I know. I'm not very good at that stuff. Lloyd's much better at that.
Lloyd is really good.
Lloyd, I don't think, has fear or judgment. he's such an honest who he is dude all the time that he'll say something totally foolish, but it's totally true.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's got weird legs, you know, and the dude's standing right there. And I'm like, geez, Lloyd, he's right there. He can hear you. What? His legs are weird. Look at him. Sure enough, he does have weird legs, but yeah. God bless Lloyd, too.
Yeah.
So what did we learn today? I don't know. We've learned that the rap battles are we're cooking them. It's going to take a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a cross-country drive. You know, people asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We're not. But we're in the car.
Sure are.
We really want to make these next six very interesting. We want them to be classics. We're not aiming to make. You know, I think we get intimidated by the success of the series, and think that we have to please everybody. But these next six, we want to make things that matter, in some way that are either educational or interesting or, you know, catchy, good songs, videos that we love.
Yeah.
Some people aren't going to like them. Especially the people who consistently request Five Nights at Freddy's, which is a video game. It's about Chuck E. Cheese, kind of?
Yeah, Fazbear?
Fazbear? Freddy Fazbear?
Fazbear?
Freddy Fazbear, I think. I've never played this game. I did. All right, here's how real this connection is, okay? We got these comments for Five Nights at Freddy's versus Chuck E. Cheese.
Uh-huh.
It's been the most popular suggestion. Now, I immediately dismissed it as I will never do anything that is related to Chuck E. Cheese in some way. That just doesn't seem like rap battle material. But I did take the time to go, all right, what is this? What are they talking about? I looked it up, found out it was about a video game, learned about the video game. It's like a horror, scary video game. It's very popular. I've never played it. Maybe I'll play it just to learn about it. We're not going to do it as an epic rap battle of history. But it did get my brain turning, like, what if we started a different segment of rap battles, which is rap battles between video games characters? Because they're, you know, video game characters are the new sports heroes to some folk. And there's some interesting stuff to be made there. So the people who wanted us to do Chuck E. Cheese might not enjoy these next six right away. But I hope, you know, when you look back at them, you're like, all right, those are good videos. Yeah. I know more now from watching. That's one of my favorite feelings in the world, besides my cat cuddling up to my bare chest, which I hope isn't weird. Is that weird? You give me a weird,
no,
weird look.
No, man. I'm just thinking. I was going to add cookie dough too. It's probably
cookie dough. All right,
great thing there.
Couple of favorite things: chest cuddles with cute, sweet, warm cats. Cookie dough ice cream. If I could combine those two into some sort of luxurious relaxation time, amazing. And when we get a message, a tweet, an email, a letter from someone who says that the Epic Rap Battles of History helped them pass a test, or help them gain an appreciation for a subject.
Yeah.
That, I wanted to be a teacher. There was a time in my life when I was going to be a teacher. Unfortunately, I was a horrible student. Wasn't very good at the whole going to class thing in college. I ended up dropping out of college. If you're out there, I highly recommend dropping out of college. finish high school. That's important. And if finishing college is right for you, do it. And go. It's definitely worth going. But if you get to a point where you're like, this is stupid. I'm not learning anything. I'm just racking up piles of debt.
Yes.
Take the leap. Go do something for yourself. It's
possible.
There's
so much to learn in the real
world. There's so much to learn. I have learned so much more out of school. So, yeah, I hope my mom's not listening because she'll definitely be freaking out at me telling people to drop out of college. I'm just saying, me and Lloyd both did, okay? And we do all right.
And Mary.
And Mary Doodles.
Yep.
So we're past the time in history, I believe, where you have to have a degree to progress with your life. And the fact that it's costing so much money and creating these piles of debt for people, it's getting a little out of hand. So don't stop learning. Don't ever stop learning. Don't stop reading. Don't stop, you know, finding out how to work and find a career path for yourself in this world. But you can do it your own way. That aside, what was I going to say? College class, wasn't a good teacher. I think I might have been a good teacher, but I wasn't able to complete the curriculum. And I think I would have been very frustrated with the bindings of the school system.
Yes.
So to now have the opportunity to do some sort of teaching at all or get people excited about history, the Russians battle, the Renaissance artists battle. Mm-hmm. If there's one person out there that like gets interested in math because of our Isaac Newton battle, I'm a happy dude.
Yeah.
So learning, cuddling cats, eating ice cream. That's what we do here. Have a very nice week. Bye.
Go to sleep. Let your head fall. Let your dreams take you where you want to go. And leave your worries to the sun. Yeah. Leave your worries to the sun. Let your eyes drop, your pillow will catch you and wake you when you're done. So leave your worries to the sun. Yeah, leave your worries to the sun. Another day to the sun.